Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 14th of September 2015, the podcast that doodles in class. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Dave Turcotte. Dave, welcome back to the podcast.
I'm good to be back. Hopefully we don't scare any people away with my no-no words this time, but if we do, fuck them.
Aw, yeah, we hurt people's feelings. Also returning, we had him on a while back to talk about Gamergate. Please welcome one of Dave's partners on the Superplex Brothers, Matt Page.
Yo, it's good to be back.
Also joining us for the first time, another Superplex brother. Please welcome Jeremiah Harding.
How y'all doing?
How many brothers have you got anyway? Thanksgiving meals must be murder.
Oh yeah, it's terrible on the budget. We have to actually get some help for with that.
And we have a special this week. We're going to focus on intellectual property bogosity, specifically copyright and copyright takedowns. We've covered that extensively, and I, of course, am no stranger to that. But the Superplex Bros just had an interesting tangle with that this week, and we also have a couple of similar stories to cover to show that this isn't an isolated incident at all. This happens all the time. But before we do any of that, guys, why don't you tell listeners who may not know what the Superplex Brothers is and what's this new fundraiser you're doing?
Okay, so let's get our jackets on. It's going to get a little chilly in here. The Superplex Brothers is a website dedicated to professional wrestling and video games. We have news, reviews, editorials on all of that stuff. We have our very own podcast, which the latest episode just went up. We're now on SoundCloud, by the way. It's pretty much just a bunch of guys who really like video games and pro wrestling.
And one girl.
And one girl. Yes, we do have one lady now.
So oh, you have a lady. That's more than I've been able to get on here.
We have a Superplex sister now, Charisma Singh. So that's pretty much the gist of it. And we are selling shirts. So, oh, Bogosity, don't you dare be sour! Buy your Superplex Brother shirt and feel the power! It's a new shirt. Yes, it is. I had to do that. I had to do that.
That
we're
shit
down
to an art form.
He's a gangster mobster and he's a preacher. He can fill all the roles.
Yes, I do. We need audio equipment badly. Matt has a nice snowball, but I don't. And neither do the rest of our writers. And basically, we want to have a good podcast, not one that makes your ears hurt. So, yeah, we need microphones and a lot of other accessories to go audio. We want to do more video content as well. So having good audio helps.
Okay, so you've got this shirt and it's looking good, I must say. It's up on tpublic.com, but that's not where it was originally, was it?
No, we originally had it up on Teespring. They have a campaign for so many days and then they take it down or whatever. But here's the thing. Our shirt was up for less than an hour and then Teespring took our shirt down, claiming that we had violated copyright. And at first, they didn't even say whose copyright we violated. They just said it was a well-known third-party copyright. And first off, aren't we supposed to know whose copyright we're violating? Shouldn't we know who our accusers are?
Absolutely.
And, I mean, say what you will about YouTube Content ID, but at the very least, they tell you what copyright you violated. Unfortunately, Teespring did not. So we did contact them through emails. Jeremiah actually did, and he asked what was up. And eventually, they did get back to us and said that it was Nintendo's property that we allegedly took. Now, we have an article on the site telling our side of this story. And if you look, you will see the logos in question. We did a parody of the Nintendo famous red logo with, but instead of Nintendo, it was Brotendo, obviously a parody or a pun.
And there are a couple of things to note about this. The Brotendo does not have the registered trademark in it like Nintendo does. Also, and let me tell you what it says on the Wikipedia page. I mean, Wikipedia has its faults, but when they put a graphic up there and they put the copyright notice on there, they get that right. They have to get that right. So here's what it says for their page for file Nintendo.svg, which is the Nintendo logo. Quote, "This image only consists of simple geometric shapes and or text. It does not meet the threshold of originality needed for copyright protection and is therefore in the public domain."
Bingo. it's public domain. Now, at the time of the emails, of the initial emails, I didn't know it was public domain. So I asked them, wouldn't this qualify under fair use under copyright? And they basically told us, yeah, well, this has worked in court before. Please understand, this is our policy, so we're removing it anyway.
Yeah, so it's not the law, it's just what they're doing to be dicks.
Which would be fine. It would be fine if it stopped there. Like, if there was actually evidence on the website to show, okay, this is their policy, they don't allow stuff like this, that would be fine. We would have moved on. This whole thing wouldn't have even been an issue. But as Jeremiah and Dave really dug down deep into the website and discovered, that was simply not the case. They do not follow their own policy. We just seem to be unfortunate victims.
Yeah, we have a few examples on our website of other copyrighted shirts that they've put on there. The famous one that we put up was the Starbucks parody, where it has a blatant copy of the Starbucks logo, but instead of Starbucks, it says consumer whore. And they did actually respond to us on Twitter about that, but they actually tried to half-ass that by saying, oh, well, that campaign was over a year old, so it don't count.
Well, unfortunately, this is the kind of thing we see a lot. They're very permissive, except every now and then they'll just pick someone to make an example of, so that if they are ever dragged into court, they'll say, well, Your Honor, you know, here's all these others that we took down, and we're sorry we can't be we're not perfect, we can't find every single one, but here, look, see, we're doing our best. And so those few people they try to make an example of just get caught up in it.
Yeah, the whole thing is ridiculous. After that, Matt did send another email with all of the examples that we've seen that are blatant ripoff. I mean, some of them aren't even parodies. They're just, like, for example, fans of the Pokemon video game franchise, there is a little league called the UCL, and the members of this league actually promoted their own t-shirts through Teespring. And they're using the images of Nintendo. They're using the Pokemon themselves. This was perfectly okay. Now, these people are technically partnered with Twitch TV. I don't know if Twitch worked out a deal. But either way, this all goes against their policy.
Well, yeah, and you know, that's not all. They also have, like, we have a manipulated image that we were putting on a shirt, and that got blown out of the water in the first hour. But what they do have is actual, like, open, like, I don't agree with intellectual property. I don't even frankly think it exists. But they have actual violation of this so-called intellectual property in the form of shirts that are specifically using copyrighted logos, like from the latest Michael Bay Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film, or the Starfleet logo from Star Trek, which is an original work. It does fall under so-called intellectual property, and if they have a content policy against that, nobody would know about it, because they can go on that site and pull shit like that. So, like, for me, I see all of that. I see the fact that they have Sonic parodies, that they have Mario parodies, they have everything. And when you bring it up to them, they don't go off and take down the campaigns like responsible people. They're not interested in responsibility. They're not interested in transparency. They're interested in making money and avoiding as many lawsuits as possible, so much so that they block new content creators by preventing them from creating what amounts to a parody where everybody else is using open copyright infringement anyway.
To make matters worse, despite the fact that we, you know, they told us they took our shirts down, they told us we violated copyright, they even tried to tell us to shut up, basically, by asking Jeremiah to stick to direct messages on Twitter. Even though, to be fair, we were private at first. We did go through all the emails and whatnot, but they refused to budge. And on other websites, we have two screenshots, one from crack.com and one from Facebook, with advertisements for Teespring with our shirt on it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That ain't right.
That is not right. They make money through clicks for those. Either put our shirt back up, compensate us for the clicks, or take those ads down.
That sounds only fair.
Again, going back to the email that I sent them, I did send every single link for all of the campaigns we found that violated their policy. It has been over 2 days since I sent that email, and the only thing I got back was that generic automated response, oh, thank you for your query, we'll look into it as soon as possible and get back to you. Now, if it was like the weekend or something, I could understand not getting a response from Teespring. But here we are, we sent that email in the middle of the week, and you're telling me that none of them could respond? So basically, once they had this actual evidence that their policy is wrong, that they've screwed us over, and that we deserve to basically, I want our campaign back up. As much as I hate their website and what they've done to us, I think the least we could do, if they're not going to compensate us for the ads and whatnot, I want our campaign back up. Because we had people who bought them. We actually had people who bought these shirts before they were taken down. Now, of course, I bought one myself because, well, I wanted one. They looked really nice. But at this point, the fact that they decided not to respond to us is where I came up with the idea, okay, at this point, we're going to make everything public. So I posted on our website every single email we sent to them and every email we got back from them, excluding the generic responses, because that would just be a waste of everyone's time. But really, this is incredibly unprofessional. And at this point, even if we do or don't get our campaign back up, I will never use Teespring under any circumstances ever again.
If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government sensors. It's essential in this day and age, so go to vpn.pugosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world, and they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.pugosity.tv. You know, it's a shame they can't all be as good as WordPress.com. They're actually taking a strong stance against people who abuse the copyright takedown process, so much that they have a hall of shame. And just this week, Subaru got added to that hall of shame after demanding that WordPress take down a blog from Sam and Jenna, which had a blog where they were doing a lot of stuff with Subaru. And of course, they had the Subaru logo all over the place. And Subaru said that this was an infringement on their trademark. Quote, "This use is clearly designed to cause confusion, deception, and mistake on the part of individuals visiting the site. This use of Subaru name and marks in connection with the website violates Subaru's rights and constitutes trademark infringement and unfair competition under the Lanham Act."
Subaru's rights.
Yeah, and also they said that since they put Subaru in the domain name in their blog, it's something really big. It's Sam and Jenna Subaru leave no trace traveling trainer application. Yeah. So since the word Subaru is in there somewhere, it violates the Anti-Cyber Squatting Consumer Protection Act.
Sounds like horse shit.
Yeah. And that's exactly what WordPress said, minus the profanity. But the weird thing about this is they did this blog as part of their application for Subaru's Leave No Trace campaign. And this is a campaign where Subaru is looking for people who can generate social media content, blogs, photos, videos, things like that, showing the Subaru brand. And so they did this as part of their application, but instead of accepting their application, they actually sent Sam and Jenna a legal threat, and in the process asked WordPress to take the blog down.
Isn't it great when the state tries to protect us by creating some sort of restriction on what we can do, and then that restriction is used by everybody who doesn't want to protect us?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So WordPress.com said, quote, "We passed along the notice to Sam and Jenna with the understanding that we would not be taking any action against their blog as their content does not constitute trademark infringement." And they put Subaru on their hall of shame, but unfortunately Sam and Jenna caved and decided to remove all the references to Subaru from the blog, but...
That's a shame.
That's a shame. I mean, Subaru didn't threaten to bring lawyers in, did they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're threatening legal action.
That's why. That's why they caved. They probably didn't think they could fight that, which is a shame because they probably could have won. But unfortunately, some people just can't handle the pressure. We could, but they couldn't.
Well, and it's also expensive to fight that. We don't have loser pays in this country. They could have fought all of that. They could have won, but ended up hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
Yeah.
There's something else involved here. Like, when you look at these sorts of laws, like consumer protection laws, they're almost always exclusively used by large companies instead of by little people, meaning that the copyright that was supposed to protect innovation initially, supposedly, which is dubious, but the copyright that was initially supposedly supposed to protect innovation for small inventors who might have their product ripped off and not be able to make it in America, the thing that was supposed to epitomize some parts of the so-called American dream is now being used by the people at the very top to basically harass people who might possibly bring them business instead of take them away. I mean, if you see the Subaru logo, you're going to think of the cars.
Yeah, and if you take a look at who lobbied for all of these copyright acts and extensions and everything, was it the small businesses or was it the big corporations?
Big corporations. Oh, every time. Specifically the U.S. government sometimes, too. That large corporation as well.
Oh, yeah. One of the biggest corporations in the world.
Yep. I mean, I could go on for a very long time about the bullshit that is copyright law, because it makes me angry enough that there are ideas that are considered owned. Like, you can't fire your neurons in this way. It's protected under law.
Yeah. Now, this logo, for people who haven't seen it, the Nintendo logo is basically a red rounded rectangle with Nintendo written in there in a distinct font, and yours is basically the same without the registered trademark, but it also says Brotendo, so did you manage to get your hand on that same font?
No, actually. Matt did talk to the person who made the image for us, and the font used is actually a slightly altered version of a font from the Judge Dredd comic book.
So nothing to do with Nintendo.
Nothing at all.
And do you still have that original font file, too?
I don't have it because I didn't make the art. I had the art commissioned through a mutual friend of mine, but he told me that he's had the file for a while. He's probably used it for so many projects over the years, but I told him about this whole situation, and it's the first time that any of his Nintendo-style logos have come under this kind of fire. He's just as surprised as we are, really, because, again, first off, it's blatantly a parody. Last I checked, Nintendo did not own Brotendo. Brotendo doesn't even exist. Well, I mean, it does now.
Well, no, like we went over, they own Red Ovals.
No, I mean, that's a simple design. You can't copyright that. But I was wondering about this issue with the font. I was looking around. Apparently, someone did make a font called Pretendo, which is that Nintendo font, except it's a full font. But I was wondering about the copyrights on that. So again, this is Wikipedia, but this is Wikipedia in their guidelines for copyright, which again, they have to get right. And so I've got a link to this, and this is the section on fonts and typefaces, quote, "Scalable fonts as such are copyrighted as computer programs. Typefaces as such may be protected by design patents, and in a few countries by copyright. Actual use of the typeface is not restricted, even if the font used was based illegally on a protected typeface. Typefaces and the characters they contain are considered to be utilitarian objects whose utility outweighs any merit that may exist in protecting their creative elements. As such, typefaces are exempt from copyright protection in the United States. However, this finding was limited in Adobe versus Southern Software, wherein it was held that scalable computer fonts, i.e. the instructions necessary to render a typeface, constitute a computer program for the purposes of copyright law, and hence are subject to protection," which I think is a little bit bogus because it's not really a computer program. It's more like an Adobe Illustrator file, you know, because it's all the Bezier curves and things like that. But anyway, they go on to say, quote, "A rasterized representation, e.g. bitmap, of the characters in a scalable font," which is what your logo is "not protected by copyright in the United States. According to the Compendium of U.S. Copyright Office Practices, typography and calligraphy are not copyrightable in themselves in the U.S. This treatment of fonts is not very unusual with respect to international law, and most other jurisdictions do not consider fonts subject to copyright either, with the notable exception of the U.K., which, however, also only covers typefaces as such as they are, for example, employed in fonts and not their actual use. So they can't even get you on, like, the, you know, you used our custom font thing.
Yeah, so basically, no matter which way you put it, the claim that we stole copyright or we abused copyright is completely unfounded, which we thought that from the beginning. But, I mean, come on, guys, what's up?
Well, you know, they don't specifically say that we're abusing copyright because they know that is a court offense. They say that we violated their content policy, which is so clearly untrue. Like, even if they say they have a policy, saying it isn't enough. You have, like, the word comes from the same roots as police for a reason. You have to enforce policy for it to be policy at all, and these people clearly don't enforce their policy, but they try and pussyfoot around this shit by saying, we have this content policy that you violated, so we took down your campaign. That means that even if we brought up copyright in some sort of legal situation, that would be considered irrelevant by the judge, because they have a separate policy, a separate, more exclusive policy that makes their site less accessible to new artists that want to make parodies. So it's a bunch of bullshit. It's not just copyright, which is already bullshit. It's another layer of bullshit. This is like the seventh circle of bullshit.
Now you can make Amazon purchases with Bitcoin by going to purse.bogosity.tv. That's P-U-R-S-E. Moreover, most purchases can be made at a discount. Save an average of 20% just by buying from Purse, or get even greater discounts by linking your Amazon wish list. Go to purse.bogosity.tv. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. Well, and it all goes down to what elements can be copyrighted. And I've got another story here on some copyright bogosity from Getty Images. They made a copyright claim against 2600 Magazine, which is a hacker publication. And those of you who know me from years and years and years ago will remember a little thing I wrote called the Computer Code Hoedown, which was in response to a court case that said that computer code was not free speech, which it absolutely is. The defendant in that case was Eric Corley, the editor of 2600. So, I mean, this is a classic hacker magazine that's been around a while. And the spring 2012 issue had a cover that looks like one of those manila folders with the two red buttons that you do the string around to hold it in, and then it's got a lot of sign-out names. And then it has this ink blotch at the bottom. Well, Trunk Archive, a subsidiary of Getty, called this copyright infringement. And the first problem is, in the U.S., the statute of limitations on copyright infringement is 3 years, and this is the spring 2012 issue, and they didn't do this until August of 2015. But you're looking at this and you go, okay, what could possibly be copyrighted? And apparently what it is that ink splatter at the bottom. And so when they provided the image that they said was infringing, and you can see it in this tech dirt link that I've included in the show notes, it's kind of this male model standing in front of this background that has all these paint blotches on it. And if you look closely enough, yeah, you can align them over and they say, okay, yeah, those blotches match. So obviously, they used that image, and that was copyrighted, and so they've got a claim, right? Well, aside from the statute of limitations, the first thing you notice is the 2600 cover has more blotches. It's like, where do those extra ones come from? It's like the Getty image is like a cropped-off version of that. Well, turns out Getty got those splotches from a Finnish artist on DeviantArt named Lotus.
DeviantArt, man, that's fun. Like, the source of all new intellectual property.
Yeah, and so they've got all three of these overlaid now. You've got the 2600 magazine cover, you've got this Getty image, and then overlaid on this is this ink splatter image from Lotus that, of course, covers everything. That is absolutely where it came from. 2600, it's not like 2600 got it from Getty, who got it from ink splatter. That would still make it bogus, but no. 2600 didn't get anything from Getty. They got it from Lotus directly. So they're not even representing the proper copyright holder.
Yeah, that sounds like a bunch of bullshit.
And even if they did, it was fair use, and it's not the sort of thing you can't copyright an ink blot, you know?
Man, you know, I was planning on starting up a Rorschach Corporation. You ruined my plans, man. That sucks.
So 2600 said, quote, "Not only is Trunk Archive trying to scare people into paying them for images, but they're apparently doing this for images they have absolutely no connection to. This insanity needs to end. Our use of such an image easily qualifies as a transformative work under the fair use doctrine. The absurdly minimal amount of the image used also would qualify it for protection. And then there's the little fact that they have no right to be telling anyone what to do with this image in the first place, since they don't even own it. By their own rules, they ought to be cutting a sizable check to Lotus for what are undoubtedly countless uses of his art. We cannot tolerate artists being threatened for creating derivative or transformative works. If this were to stand consistently, all forms of art would soon grind to a halt, as none could be created without constantly paying off these people. Most others aren't like us. They aren't lucky enough to have lots of people defending them and spreading the word. What happens in their cases is that they are forced to either pay up, be hounded, or hire an attorney that will wind up costing more than the settlement being demanded. If we allow that to happen, creative expression will suffer across the board. Calling attention to these abuses is what's needed. Joining with existing legal action or beginning new challenges to stop this sort of thing in the future is essential. We intend to continue with all of this. We thank Trunk Archive for opening our eyes to this abuse and helping to get us actively involved." And that is why 2600 Magazine is awesome.
That is pretty awesome to fight that. This whole thing has really reestablished why I can't stand this whole IP bullshit. Because even enforcing it, they get it wrong so badly that it's like, why bother having it in the first place? And I've always been on record as to say, if IP were done my way, it would just be a public listing of who made what. Not necessarily telling people you can't use something, but rather just a listing to give credit where credit is due. I think that's really the best way to do copyright.
Yeah, but I mean, in this way, there's not even any punishment for doing this kind of abuse. I mean, a DMCA takedown that's false is technically perjury, although I've never heard of any cases of it being successfully prosecuted. But other things like what they did to those bloggers by sending them these legal threats, there's no punishment when they abuse that and they're in the wrong. They can do it all they want and not face any consequences.
Yeah, absolutely. It's ridiculous. And, I mean, copyright law, as it currently stands, needs to change drastically.
Yeah, it's legalized extortion is what it is.
Absolutely. Just all in all, Teespring, you fucked up. I mean, we were going to promote your website and all this, but after the way you've treated us and after the way you refuse to even talk to us like decent people and talk about us like we're criminals... No, fuck off. We're never using you again.
I'm disappointed because it was our first real venture out into merchandise as a brand, and it's ended so sourly. Thank God for TeePublic letting us host whatever we want, letting us sell it for cheaper, at least for a limited time when we first post things. We're going to have more shirts in the future because there's so much aspects to the Superplex Bros. We have a Pokemon League. We have an anime podcast. We're going to have a music show. There's going to be so much to the Superplex Bros. And you're going to find all of our merchandise only on TeePublic. Again, as I said earlier, I will never use Teespring again. And I advise everyone else to not use Teespring. Fuck this company.
If intellectual property is designed to protect people's work and people's work is now threatened by intellectual property, and the concern that legal action will be taken if a company chooses to produce something that is wholly legal, then there is not only a fundamental flaw in the system, but a fundamental need to change. And I don't see any reason why this sort of law should remain on the books if it's going to threaten people so much that they feel the need to have isolating and ostracizing policies to new content producers that might have something beautiful or inspiring or intellectually stimulating to say, but might say it in a way that's close to a third party. If it's too close to a third party and like that makes the third party uncomfortable, the third party has many options, including disavowing the party involved. That would lead to a huge amount of public discourse. That's what's desired. But what's not desired is this threatening policy that damages freedom and damages people's ability to produce things legally, driving them to other producers that might be more shady. There is no benefit to this, and the utter bullshit involved in maintaining such policies has to stop.
Well, that wraps up this Keep Circulating the Tapes edition of the Bogosity Podcast. As always, you can come to forum.bogosity.tv to read the show notes and join the discussion. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or at patreon.bogosity.tv. And feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. You can even stick it in an audio file if you want. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Dave Turcotte, Matt Page, and Jeremiah Harding for joining me.
Glad to be here.
Bye.
Yes, be criminals, dangerous criminals with we.
Until next time, here's a quote from Bruce Schneier. Digital files cannot be made uncopyable any more than water can be made not wet. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License. Bogosity. Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
And buy our shirt.
Ha, 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 ha,